Hello, my name is Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into the Word.
We seem to catch him at a point where he's questioning God, or he's questioning Jesus. And it's almost for some of us, when we have our hero so far on a pedestal and we And when we look at their frailty, sometimes it can call us to challenge our faith. And that's why many times I like to keep my heroes at a distance. But in the Bible, all of the heroes are never cut or kept at a distance. You're going to see them for what and who they are at whatever time in their life that is recorded in the book. And many times they're on a great high, and a lot of times they're on a low. And John the Baptizer could probably in the text be described as going through a spiritual crisis. He could be described as someone who may be depressed, someone who's questioning his whole purpose for being born, someone who's questioning even Jesus Christ himself. Now, what would cause a man who's so on fire at one time for the Lord to begin to question God? Well, I'll tell you. I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you what causes that. What causes that is that many times as Christians we have to suffer. And if you haven't been taught this concept of suffering, it can throw you off. It can throw you off guard. And I believe that this is why the reason that we're dealing with in this text tonight, the reason for John being where he was in this text tonight. Verse 20, it says, "And when the men came to Jesus, they said, 'John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?'" Wait a minute. Are you the one, or should? Wait a minute. This came from John the Baptist, the man who proclaimed the way. Prepare ye the way. And now at this point in time, he's wondering whether Jesus was real enough. Right here, it gives me great encouragement to know that sometimes great men and great people of God can end up in a depression. Sometimes great men and women of God can begin to question their faith, begin to question their belief in God. Sometimes great men, which means that when I get depressed, I don't have to be so hard on myself. Hello, somebody. Somebody may be listening at the sound of my voice, and you are depressed, and you're beginning to ask questions about God. And I always tell Christians, if you're depressed and you want to have a real talk with Jesus, why don't you tell him all about the way that you feel? Why don't you question him? And I tell you, why don't you have a real talk with Jesus? This is real talk. The young folks say, I'm keeping it 100. And John the Baptist was keeping it 100. He asked and he said, are you the one? Or should we look for another? He was keeping it 100. He was keeping it 100. So what would cause him to question his faith? Well, I think it had a lot to do with probably where he was. He probably sent messages from a prison. The same way Paul wrote many of his letters, he was in the prison. And when he wanted to get a message, so he'd send somebody, to take this letter and send a messenger. So John the Baptist probably is no longer in the wilderness, no longer a free man. And you take that man described as a man of the wilderness, as a man who people came out to see in the wilderness, and you take that same man and you cage him. And somebody said, I know why the caged bird sings. The most caged men who enjoy their freedom and who live the life of freedom and boldness, it will put them in a depression, so put them in prison. I believe that John the Baptist was in prison at this time when he sent the messengers, and as a result, he was no longer a free man. He's no longer a free man. The backstory to this is Matthew 14, verses 3 through 5, which tells us that Herod had John arrested, and not only was he arrested, he was bound in chains and put in prison. And he was done that because Herodias, his brother's, Philip's wife, for John was keeping him 100 in this situation, for Herod had his brother's wife, and John told him the truth. He said, it is not lawful for you to have her. And as a result, Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered John a prophet. So John is in prison now because he told the truth. You're living, you're shacking with your brother's wife. And this is not lawful. And he told the truth. He was preaching the word. He told the truth. And many times Christians don't realize is that you can get in trouble for telling the truth. Hello, somebody. I get in trouble all the time for telling the truth. Not me. I just share the word. And that's what John the Baptist did. He shared the word. No, it's not lawful. I don't care that you hold this high position. I don't care that you're a mini king if you were. But this is not lawful what you're doing. And he got put in jail. He got put in jail, and there he was left alone with his own thoughts. There he was taken from a man having freedom and being able to travel here and there, a man who was probably a man of the wilderness. And he was set down, chained in the prison. And as a result of him being chained, set down, and in the prison. Sure, the first day may not be as hard, the second day, but as time goes on, chain and then the prison. From there, he got a hold to a messenger because of his own personal situation, because of what he was going through. He had felt that God had failed him. All he was doing was telling the truth. Got put in jail. So he sent messengers to Jesus to pose the question, are you the one? Or should we look for another? This was questioning his messiahship. And many people questioned his messiahship because they wanted Jesus to come to be a great political deliverer. Oh, and he didn't come as a great political deliverer, not the first time. He's going to come the second time and do that. Oh, and as a result, it caused John to have issues with his theology. Because nobody had taught him that he would have to suffer for doing right. Somebody, listen, it's sound of my voice. You're suffering right now for doing right. You're in a lonely place. You're in a lonely what feels like a prison, but you're suffering for doing right. You're depressed because, oh, you want to do right and that you're doing right, and you're in a lonely place for doing the right thing. Many times when you get in a lonely place for doing the right thing, it causes you to question your theology. And this is what he was doing in the text. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Parenthetically, it's not a bad thing to question God, but always remember, when you question him, he has an answer for you. Okay, he has an answer for you. And it's okay to be taught some things. It's okay to be taught. That's what we're supposed to do as disciples. We're supposed to be learners. And we're supposed to be taught something every day. And even this great man of God, who was a prophet of God, had to be taught. And this is what Jesus' reply to him was. Verse 22, so he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen. Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard, what you have seen. And as many times, we can be in the right place and not see Jesus at work. And we're talking about tonight seeing Jesus at work. And Jesus had to let you know. He has to open your eyes that you may see. And he said to the messengers, go back. And tell them what you've seen. Go back and tell them about the men, what you've seen and what you heard. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news are proclaimed to the poor. Go back and tell him what you've seen. Go back and tell him what you're seeing. And parenthetically enough, a witness is a good enough report for any of us. A witness. We don't have to see it for ourselves. I'm so glad that Jesus sent them back and told them as a witness about what they have seen. He said, go back and tell them, and your witness should be enough to turn your situation around. Your witness should be enough to encourage his lonely heart. Your witness should be enough. I'm so glad that I don't have to see some things firsthand. All I've got to do is pick up the book and see that witness and what the witness said. And because of what the witness said, I can have hope today. Because of what the witness said, I can have hope today. And in this text, he tells us that he's still God, that he's still on the throne. You better open your eyes and see. I have the power to open the eyes of the blind. You better open your eyes and see. From the witness, I can cause the lame to walk. You better open your eyes to see that I can cause the leper to be clean. You better open your eyes and see that the deaf hear now. I can open your eyes that you may see that the dead are raised and the good news is preached to the poor. I need you to witness about what you've seen. And if you witness about what you've seen, it can cause light to come in that prison. It can cause joy in the heart of those that don't have no joy. Go back and witness to them and tell them what you've seen. Hello, somebody. Somebody here today. Oh, God's trying to give you a witness right now to let you know that he has the power to overcome any situation that you are depressed with, any prison that you are locked in. Oh, he has the power today to make a difference in your life. He can change your heart or change you before he changed the circumstance. Can you accept this witness? Go back and tell John, because he forgot who I was. He forgot that he was the one who proclaimed that I was the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the only Son of the living God. He forgot. And now I need to give him a Bible lesson and let him see, oh, that I am still powerful. See, the problem with us is that we're like John. When God is not moving in our lives, we think that God is not real. Ooh, let me say that again. Many times when we cause that to affect others around us. Oh, because if God is not moving for me, if I'm in prison, if I'm in a lonely place, I want to go out and in my depression and go out and affect other people with my depression. Oh, because God hasn't moved on my behalf. And just because God has not moved on your behalf doesn't mean that he's not still God. Hello, somebody. Let me say that again. Somebody better get this. Somebody, this would encourage you, because God don't all the time work for you. The old folk used to say, he may not come when you want him. Hello, somebody. But he's always right on time. For John, Jesus didn't come when he wanted him. Jesus didn't go and bail him out. Hello, somebody. Jesus didn't do the miracle that he did with Peter. Oh, as the church was praying for Peter, and God sent an angel. But John was in jail. Hello, somebody. And he allowed his own circumstances to affect others around him. Just because you're going through a bad time don't mean that God ain't still God. Just because he's not working for you right now don't mean that God is not still God. Hello, somebody. John had to learn this lesson. He had to learn this lesson. Jesus, in effect, was quoting a text in Isaiah 61, verse 1. And this again talks about, this was a prophecy of what the Messiah would do. And it says that the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because God has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom to the captives and to release from the darkness of the prisoners. He was saying, I'm being the very word itself. Everything that the book said about me, I'm doing. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. But because God wasn't doing for him, he lost perspective. Someone said God has three answers when we pray. Yes, no, and not right now, or wait. Hello, somebody. Some of us get caught in the not right now, or we get messed up by God's no. Have you ever been messed up by God's no? John got messed up by God's no. Because John, Isaiah 61 verse 1. Because John knew what the Messiah and his power should do. John knew that he shouldn't be sitting in the prison. John knew that he shouldn't be chained because of the God that he served. He knew that God was bigger than his circumstance. He knew all of that. Hello, somebody. But he hadn't come to terms with God's no. And in this situation, this would be a no, because in the text that we mentioned a little earlier, Matthew 14, beginning with verse 6, it talks about how Herod was at a banquet and his brother's wife's daughter came and began to drop it like it's hot before his eyes and before him, and it caused him to get happy so much so that he said, anything you want, I'll give it to you, and I'm going to give you by the king's oath. And when the king made an oath, nobody could turn the decree back. And Philip's wife had sent John up, because that little girl asked for John's head on a platter. And don't you know that John died? God's no. Hello, somebody. God's no. We don't know whether he was beheaded like that because he questioned God because of who he was and the ministry, because he was a forerunner, or simply because he would be a forerunner of what most of the early apostles were, and the kind of death that most of them died. They all pretty much died a horrible death. Hello, somebody. But they were willing to die for the sake of Jesus Christ. But this would be a no. This would be a no. And at first I felt sorry for John. Like most of us do when somebody died. But then I said, wait a minute. Heaven is a much better place. And guess what? And on that glorified body, hello, somebody. He's going to be put back together again. Hello, somebody. Humpty Dumpty. Oh, sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And when he got off that wall and fell, all the king horses and all the king men couldn't put Humpty back together again. But guess what? John has a greater king in the heavens. And John's heavenly father will put him back together again. He's no longer in that place of prison, no longer in that place of doubt. Oh, he knows who God is, because, hello, somebody, because heaven is a better place. So don't feel sorry for John. Don't feel sorry for God's no. Hello, somebody. But what you better do is you better believe who God is. Hello, somebody. Jesus was saying that I got the power. Jesus saying to somebody tonight, anything that you're facing, anything that you're going through, any trial or tribulation that you face, don't you know that I am God? And I have the power to move. And you may be in a dark place, but I have the power to move you from that dark place. Don't you know that just with a word I said, let there be light, and there was light. And don't you know that even if I say no, even if I don't heal you of cancer, if I don't heal you of your leukemia, if I don't heal you of AIDS, don't you know that heaven is a better place? Hello, somebody. No more dying, no more crying. Oh, no more bills. Hello, I believe that there'll be no shoes in heaven, because how else can my big flat feet can experience those streets of gold? I can't feel that gold with some shoes on under my feet. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. God is trying to reply to you tonight. Don't you know that regardless of what you're going through, regardless, if you can't see, regardless if you have an incurable disease and maybe AIDS, regardless that you can't hear, regardless that you're maybe dead, God says tonight, that I am God. I'm seated on the throne, and I can do anything that I want to do, and even my no is still yes. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. That's his reply to you tonight. John had a reason to feel the way that he did, and God responded to him the way that he did. And God, on the point number 3, the read of John. Verse 24, after John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? He began to give them a little pop quiz. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? John's ministry was very well received. What did you go out in the ministry? What did you go out to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? Verse 25. A man dressed in fine clothes. You know, John didn't look like most of us preachers look today. Many times, us preachers, we are G'd up. Hello, somebody. We look pretty good. We dress pretty nice. But John was not dressed in fine clothes, nor did he wear any expensive clothes and indulge in the luxuries that are in palaces. He was a man of the wilderness, eating locusts. Verse 26, but what did you go out to see? And Jesus called him what he was a prophet. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send a messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. And I tell you, amongst those born of women, there is no one greater than John. I'm so glad that even though John had blown it, even though John had questioned Jesus and had questioned his messiahship, I'm so glad that Jesus still had a positive view of who this man was. This man was a prophet, but even prophets are limited. Hello, somebody. Even prophets don't know their own end. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Even prophets don't know the future. Hello, somebody. And Jesus said that he was a prophet and one of the greatest prophets. There's no one better born of a woman. Hello, somebody. And even though you're here tonight and you've blown it, you may have blown it, you may have blown it big time. You may have questioned God. You may have come here tonight depressed and sorrowful. You may have told some folks some words with that tongue that God wants you to use to preach the gospel, and you told them some other stuff. Hello, somebody. I'm so glad that he didn't miss it. Hello, somebody. Sometimes even when we miss the mark, God, it hits the mark. Hello, somebody. And he questioned God, but God still gave him a positive point of view. But lastly, let's talk about this last end of this prophet. This last end of this prophet, where the text says in Luke 7:23. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Blessed is the man. And that kind of threw me. What does that mean, Jesus? Falling away on account of you? Well, this means, and this will help somebody, especially somebody young in the faith, that when you get serious with God, some folk gonna begin to fall away in your life. Hello, somebody. And some good folk can misinterpret your ministry. Ooh, let me say that again. Even some good folk can misinterpret your ministry because you have been called for 2011 and they're used to folk, back in 1950, and you come on the scene and you want to reach your generation. You want to be a man of your own time because God born you for this time. And as a result, people can misinterpret your ministry. They misinterpret your walk with the Lord because you are different. And really the thing is, it's not that you are different, it's just you are biblical. That's all that you are. You showed up on the scene and you're a preacher. You're not a politician. Hello, somebody. You teach the word and you let politicians take care of what they're supposed to take care of. And you just focus on preaching the word. Oh! Hello, somebody. Because especially preachers, you have to be careful of what the world try to make you out to be. The world will have you running and doing everything but what you're supposed to be doing. Hello, somebody. And that's what happened with Jesus. He came on the scene and he was everything that the word said he was supposed to be. But even this good man, this man who would prepare his way, would misinterpret his ministry. Good people misinterpret your ministry. They'll say to that single brother that don't want to stay in the house past 10, oh, you ain't got to be like that. Ain't nothing gonna happen. Hello, somebody. Oh, they misinterpret you. They say, oh, how you know that she's the one if you don't try it before you buy it. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Secular, all that secular stuff that gets in the church. And God is calling you to be strictly the word of God, regardless of whether even good people misinterpret you and your ministry. It's amazing how much secular stuff goes on in the church. It's amazing how much secular advice that's given out in the church. Hello, somebody. And we have it everywhere in the church many times. And you start to talk about it, and people will look at you like you crazy. No, it's in the book. And if it's not in the book, guess what? I'm not going to stand on it. Amen. Amen. I can take all that other stuff or leave it. I'm not going to stand on it. It's not going to be gospel truth, because only gospel truth is gospel truth. Only the word of God is the gospel truth. And to have you worshiping the sight and not doing, not that we don't take good care of our sight, but to have you worshiping the sight and having you misinterpret what the real sight is. You won't put nothing on the table, but you'll put cigarettes in your body. Hello, somebody. And they have all kinds of chemicals in cigarettes that you can't even put up under your sink. But yeah, it's in your body. Oh. But if you teach people the truth, that your body is the temple, not the building, then maybe people will be liberated and begin to say, hey, this body of mine is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, and I'm going to do like Jesus. Oh, and the money changes. I'm going to throw anything out of this temple that's not holy. And I begin to look at myself instead of looking at a sight. I begin to grow in myself. Hello, somebody. Because buildings and sites don't grow, they're just it. But I'm made of flesh and blood. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of me. Hello, somebody. And God says in his word that he's come to set the captives free. And there's too many prisoners in the household of the Lord. You're enslaved to gambling. You're enslaved to drinking. You're enslaved to alcohol. Enslaved to drugs. Enslaved to gossiping. Enslaved to prescription drugs. But as long as you don't look at yourself and people have you looking at the sight, then you will not grow. Oh, hello, somebody. You won't grow, but you teach and preach the word. Oh, and tell folks who they really are. And people will misinterpret all your ministry. They'll misinterpret what God has called you to do. But you better stand firm in Jesus' name. Stand firm on the word of God, which means that even if I've got to stand alone, I'm going to stand alone until I see the salvation of the Lord, because God has called me out of all of this mess, out of all of this junk, wants you to think that you are a chicken. Hello, somebody. I'm going to use this to talk about these terms. See, what does chickens do? All they do is they peck around the yard. Hello, somebody. Cracking and barking all the time. You see, he says, you hear a chicken barking? Just a figure of speech. When you got saved, God made you an eagle. Hello, somebody. And eagles, when was the last time you seen eagles hanging around a chicken? Hello, somebody. You just don't see it. Because eagles were created to soar. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Are you that same old person that you was last year? Are you that same old person that you was the year before that? I've been here 4 years. Are you the same old person that you are since I've been here? Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. But the Bible says that there is change that's supposed to happen in your life. There's a sanctification process. There's a deliverance. There's a set free. There's a relationship that should be building. Bethlehem! Bethlehem! You should be getting to know him. You should be getting to know him. But yet you're falling away. Ooh, that's deep, that's deep. You're falling away. That's why Jesus said, blessed is a man who does not fall away on account of me. Blessed is a man who can take the real relationship that I have to offer. Because only religious people fall away. They get disappointed. They were looking for a political leader at times of Jesus. They was looking for a welfare state in Jesus. When he fed the 5,000, they wanted to make him king. I guess they wanted to make him a Burger King. Hello, somebody. They wanted to make him king. He didn't come on the scene to be a politician. He didn't come on the scene to do welfare. And many churches do more social work than they do sharing the gospel. Ooh, that's deep, that's deep, that's deep. This world will make of you everything but what God wants you to be. Hello, somebody. But Jesus said, blessed are you who don't fall away. Blessed are you who don't give up. Blessed are you who stand. Blessed are you who are willing to suffer. That's why Paul said, and we've been studying this all year, that he even wanted to know the fellowship of his suffering. Hello, somebody. He wants to know, and that's why it's good for you to be a well-rounded Christian, because you're going to have to suffer for doing right many times. But don't be discouraged. God has enabled you to overcome the world. What Jesus were you looking for today? Why are you depressed today? Because you didn't get Jesus in the form you thought he should have been in today? Because he didn't do for you what you wanted him to do for you today, so you got discouraged and you're feeling like quitting and giving up? Even when God is not doing it for you, he's still God. And that's why every Christian has to get a little hallelujah anyhow in him. Because regardless of whether he works or move in a way that you want him to, hallelujah anyhow. Hallelujah anyhow. Jesus had to give him a report. This witness of what they saw was enough for John. And this witness of what you see in the text tonight should be enough for you to know that God can open your blind eyes, God can heal your lame walk, that God can heal you of the disease that the doctors say that they can't do nothing for you. God can open your ears. Maybe you have ears, and you can hear, but you just can't hear the word of God. This means to be doers of the word and not just hearers. He has the power over death and life itself. And the most thing that he's concerned about is the proclamation of the good news to the poor. And anybody that don't know Jesus is poor. Hello, somebody. We got a job to do, church. We got a job to do, but you can't do it depressed. Hello, somebody. You can't do it in a depressed state. Hello, somebody. You need to get over that depression and see God for who he is and see his works and get busy for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Shall we pray? Father God, we come tonight just wanting to thank you and to praise your holy name, Father, for you are truly worthy to be praised. Worthy of glory, honor, dominion, and might forever and ever and ever, Father. And we come tonight, Lord, as we begin this month of keeping our eyes, Lord. And we come tonight wanting to keep our eyes on who you are, Father. You are the Messiah. You are God's only Son. And as a result of that, that means that you have power. And you have the power to say yes. And you have the power to say no. And you have the power to say wait. And tonight, Father, we want to tap into that power for somebody tonight. Father, you're saying yes. They came here tonight depressed, discouraged, thinking about giving up. But tonight, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you're stirring up the spirit that's on the inside of their temple, of themselves, and their spirit is encouraging them tonight, and their spirit is changing them tonight, because Lord, you like to change us first, before you change the circumstance, and you're going to change them tonight. You're going to give them peace, you're going to give them joy, you're going to give them hope, you're going to give them faith, and as a result, they're going to leave this place in victory, and as a result of that, they're going to walk into the place that you're calling and telling them to walk, and victory is going to follow them because you said yes tonight, because you said that you have the power over the eyes to see, you have the power over the lame to walk, you have the power to cleanse up an incurable disease, you have the power to open deaf ears, you have the power to raise the dead, Father, and Father, because of that, somebody's life will be changed in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you work. I pray, Lord, that you move. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, dispatch your angels right now, Father, to go see about him, Father, in Jesus' name. Somebody else tonight, Father, you said no, Father. Father, your no means no. For no man can open a door that you have closed. And you said no, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you would give somebody tonight the courage and the faith to know and to see that just because you said no doesn't mean that you can't do it. And I pray, Lord, to help them to believe that you can do it even if you won't do it, Father, in Jesus' name. Now that's faith. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. That they believe that God can deliver us from the fire, but even if he don't, we still won't bow the knee. And Father, some of us need some even if you don't tonight, Father. Even if you don't deliver, we're still going to have joy. Even if you don't take us from the prison, we're still going to have freedom and joy. Even if you don't heal our loved ones, we're still going to see you, Father, and know that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Even if you don't do it, we're going to praise you. Even if you don't do it, we're going to say hallelujah anyhow. Hallelujah anyhow. because I still believe that you can, even when you won't. Hallelujah, anyhow, because you're still God, and the angels are praising your holy name, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy. Oh, Father, you're God. You're still seated on the throne, and because of that, it doesn't matter, Father, if you say yes. It doesn't matter, Lord, if you say no, because you are who you are, and we're going to praise you. That's enough. Oh, to cause us to praise your holy name, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, there's somebody else, Father, you're saying wait tonight. You're telling them to wait. It's not a yes, and it's not a yes now. It's a wait. Father, we pray, Lord, for those that you're telling to wait tonight. We pray, Father, that they will stand on your word that says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Father, help us, Lord, those who you're calling to wait on you, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father, in Jesus' name. Encourage our hearts, our minds, and our souls, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for those that are in the box, because we know that the proclamation of the gospel is the greatest, is what you want us all to do, Father, in the midst of wherever we are, in the midst of a yes, in the midst of a no, in the midst of a wait. You want us to be witnesses, and we pray, Lord, for those that are in the box. We pray, Lord, that you convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, that they may be saved, Father, in Jesus' name, that they may come, oh, down these aisles saying, what must I do to be saved? May they be like that jailer. Oh, say, what must I do to be saved? Oh, Father, in Jesus' name. And we come tonight just wanting to glorify you, Father, and how you're reaching the youth in the next generation. We're having another baptism this Sunday. Oh, this next generation is being used and being reached, Father. And we pray, Father, that you will be with them, Father. Put your hands of protection around them. Keep them safe from all harm and danger, that they may rise up and call on your name, that they may rise up and live it out, Father. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We praise you for what you're doing in the life of our church, Lord. Help us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Help us to keep our eyes on Jesus. That's when we keep our eyes on Jesus. There's always hope. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Falls Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This and is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art building, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com. Definitely.